Well, it's a wonderful evening that I get to see you all. I just realized that I've not even stepped into the cathedral for about 8 months. So it's been a very long time. I think most of us have been on the Sunday services on YouTube and watching the services, listening, worshiping on the services online. Many of us have come regularly until the government allowed us to open up again, and we pray that they will loosen it a lot more so that more of us can come back and worship together. I think what's been in the news this past few days is something that you won't miss, because it's there in the headlines. Every day they've been reporting it. And of course, you know that that's the U.S. presidential election. Right? But some of you may not know that it was also the Congress and Senate elections as well. So it wasn't just the President of the United States that they were electing. They were actually electing the government of the nation. And if you've listened to the news, you will know that one president created this unity. The president-elect is seeking to bring the country back together in unity. So it's really a toss-up. But I'm not here to talk about politics. Right? I'm here to talk about true friends, because in the passage before us in 1 Samuel chapter 18, we read about true friendship. We all have many acquaintances. I'm sure many of you have been working, you're now retired, but you still have acquaintances that you have met during your work, or people that you meet when you go out and you just have some coffee or what. The coffee shop, I've been serving in the Diocese of Singapore, right, as parish worker and as a clergyman for 35 years. And I've gone through different parishes as well. And I would say that I've at least 20,000 acquaintances in the different churches and other denominations that have invited me to speak at. So I have a lot of acquaintances, and there are a lot of people I don't even know. They are acquainted with me because they have seen me up in the pulpit or the rostrum teaching, and they know who I am. And then they'll come up to me, "Oh, Reverend Tan, do you remember?" I don't remember how to remember all the incidences, all the sermons, And the worst thing is that now we're all wearing masks. And all I see are your eyes, And for those of you that I met 20 years ago, you have a lot less hair now, so I can't even depend on that to recognize who are you. Right? But psychologists tells us that actually close friends are only a handful. You only have a handful of really close, intimate friends. So what is a true friend? What is a true friend? And here in this passage in 1 Samuel, it gives us an indication of what true friendship is. So let's take a closer look at the passage itself in 1 Samuel chapter 18. In verse 4 to 5, it says, "And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor and even his sword and his bow and his belt. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him, so that Saul set him over the men of war. And this was good in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants." So the first thing that we notice about a true friend like Jonathan was with David was that Jonathan was not envious of David's success. You know, when it says that Jonathan gave David the armor and all those entrapments of war, right? It's an indication, because you know, you would know that Jonathan is the son of the king, and Jonathan would be very high in terms of his rank in the army of Israel. He would probably be the commander beside his father. And so to give David his armor and all the entrapment is like, you know, the general giving his uniform to the soldier, right? And you know, when you look at the general, you know he's a general. And how do you know he's a general? Because his uniform has all those stars on it, right? A normal soldier doesn't have all that. So for Jonathan to give David all that is actually telling you that Jonathan, even though he's so highly ranked in Israel's army, looked upon David as his equal. He was not envious of David's success. In fact, as a true friend, he encouraged David. He helped David to rise up in rank with the Israelites. So Jonathan, as a true friend, helped his friend. He was not jealous of David. In fact, in the verse earlier, it says that the soul of Jonathan and the soul of David were joined. You know? Now, this is not a homosexual relationship that we are talking about, right? It's talking about friendship. You know? Friendship. You know, in Greek, there are actually four words that are used for love, right? One of them, which we are most familiar with, is agape. We always talk about agape love. No, but in Greek, there are four words, right? There's agape love, which we know. There's also phileo, which is friendship love. Okay? And this was actually the word Jesus used for Peter when he said, "Do you love me? Do you phileo me?" You know, that's what Jesus asked of Peter. Then there is the other love, which is talking about eros. Eros is that erotic love, right? We think of it as a sexual love, which is that between man and woman, husband and wife. You know? And then there's storge, the family love that we have for the members of our family. You know, regardless of what they do, they're still part of our family and we still love them, right? So these four love, they're actually very important, right? We tend to overemphasize agape love. But actually, these four types of love are very important. Okay? And so here we find that Jonathan and David had a very special relationship. Jonathan was not envious of David. In fact, if you read further on in verses after that, you'll find that when Saul wanted to kill David, Jonathan, Saul's own son, warned David. And for doing that, Jonathan almost lost his own life at the hands of his father Saul. That's how much he loved David, how much he valued that relationship, that friendship with David. That's true love, right? True friends, true friendship that we should, well, we should actually be showing to other people that we are not envious of them. We would like them to succeed, because when they succeed, we will actually also succeed ourselves when we are all working together. Then the other part of a true friend is faithfulness. Because, you know, when David became the king of Israel, so Saul passed away, right? But Jonathan also passed away. So David could have said, "Well, you know how badly Saul treated me? Like, he threatened my life so many times, you know? And I did all the good things, and yet he would curse me, and he would want to take my life away." Right? David could take revenge, you know, on Saul's family. I think you all know in Chinese history, when the emperor ascends to his throne, he would actually kill all his enemies, including his own relatives, right, to establish his power. But you know what David did? When David became king, one of the first things that he did is found in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 to 13. And David said this. He said, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" That I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. See, David was also a true friend of Jonathan. He remembered how his friend helped him sacrifice himself for him, you know. And he asked, "Is there anyone in Saul's family, right, that I can show goodness, mercy, kindness to?" And there was one, Mephibosheth. That's the son of Jonathan. He was actually a cripple. Okay, so he was quite helpless. No, and you know, many people who are in that condition in society are looked down upon, right? But David did not despise him, because if you read further down in that passage, right, he said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "He's in the house of Makkah, the son of Amiel at Lodabar." Then David sent and brought him from the house of Makkah, the son of Amiel at Lodabar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David, right? And David said, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always." Now that's a true friend. He didn't take any revenge. Not only that, but he gave Jonathan everything that belonged to his grandfather Saul. That was how he treated the son of his friend, a very dear friend of David. And so he looked after Jonathan's son. And he was faithful to his friend Jonathan, faithful to his descendant, to what he left behind. You know, that's an example for us that we need to be faithful to those around us, faithful to our friends, even though at times they may get us upset, you know. But we need to be faithful to them, to show them that we are their true friend, and that we will also treat them as a true friend, someone that we respect and someone that we show kindness and goodness to. And so we come to our gospel passage where Jesus says in John chapter 15, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." A true friend makes sacrifices. A true friend makes sacrifices. You know, it's like sometimes our friend comes to us and say, "No, can you help me?" And then we say, "No, no, I'm very busy. No, I don't have the time." You know? But sometimes we have to ask ourselves, is it really we don't have the time? Is it because we want to watch the latest Korean drama or something like that? I don't watch Korean dramas now. So, you know, and sometimes we have to ask ourselves, is it really we're that busy that we can't help them? You know? And sometimes you have to go out of your way. You know, it's like, recently I was with a friend. We went out for coffee, you know. And I discovered that this friend no longer has a car. It doesn't live near me, right? But because I invited the friend out for coffee, and the friend said, "Okay, no, we haven't met each other for a long time." So then I volunteered to go and pick the friend up and bring the friend for coffee, you know, so that we can continue to be friends and, you know, know what's happening in each other's lives and pray for one another. She's a Christian. So that's something that we need to bear in mind as a true friend. Sometimes we have to go out of our way. It may be inconvenient, but as a true friend, we need to show that we are a friend. We're a friend that they can call upon, a friend that they can depend upon. You know? And that's what being a true friend is, to make sacrifices as well. They're not always asking us to make sacrifices. If that's the case, then they are not true friends. No. But as a true friend, we do need to make sacrifices. And so when we think about this, we need to remember that the truest friend that we will all have is Jesus Christ. Because in this same passage in John chapter 15, Jesus said, right, that greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Jesus laid down his life for all of us. In spite of who we are, sinners, people who rejected him, and people who rejected God, Jesus laid down his life for us. He is the truest friend that we will ever find. Because as he said, he will never leave us or forsake us. He will look after us. I know in my whole life, I have seen how God has looked after me. You know, you may not believe this, but there was a time in my life I had no home. I was actually homeless. Okay, I wasn't reduced to staying in the underpass and all that because, you know, God was good. I went to theological college. It was compulsory in my time to stay in theological college. So I had no home to go back to. So for the weekends, I would stay in the college because no home to go back to. So God provided me a home, even though it was in the college, you know. But eventually, God gave me a home to stay in. So I've seen what God has done in my own life, how God has looked after me and taken care of me. Some of you may not know that, you know, when I was doing NS, I almost died in NS because, you know, a rifle went off. The rifle went off during firing range. And there were three bullets. One went past my ear, and I literally saw the bullet going past my ear, you know. So I knew how close it was. And two bullets landed on my feet. I actually saw them go on the ground. So I knew that just a little bit off, I would be dead. Because I have seen what happens when a bullet hits someone. Right in front of my eyes, it happened. You know, it's a horrible sight. Right? So I know that God is a true friend who looks after us and takes care of us. So we need to also be a true friend to others, to look after them, to treat them with respect, to be faithful to them, and indeed make sacrifices to maintain that friendship. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are indeed a wonderful God, a God who looks after us, a God who takes care of us, a God who keeps his promises. And so we pray that you will help us, that we will be a true friend to others as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.